So it's a bedtime story for Ella, and this we've ran out of books. As by the way,
why?
Well, because we've read them all. We've read the most of them, I think, haven't we?
Not throwing bin.
No, we wouldn't throw a book in a bin. You must be joking me. We'll find somebody else who doesn't have any books. We might give them to them. Wouldn't that be nice?
What?
Well, if there was somebody, another boy or girl who didn't have any books, we could give the books to them.
Ella.
Well, you're Ella.
Yeah.
Well, other people gave you books, didn't they?
Yeah.
Anyhow, this...
A and James.
We could give some to, yeah, Ava and James. They might like some.
Yeah. I'm not with...
Well, we can pick some tomorrow. It's nice to share, isn't it?
Oh, some book can money fix them.
I can bring them down to my shed and fix them if you want.
Oh, that thing, that thing, I'll fix that.
Okay, well, remind me tomorrow.
Yeah.
I fixed the ear on it, or the eye.
I think.
Yeah.
Eye.
Okay.
You
need that
out.
Okay, I'll bring it down to my shed and fix it tomorrow, alright?
Yeah.
Okay. I love you, good night.
I love you, good night.
Okay. So this book is called Legends, Charms and Superstitions of Ireland. And some of it is a bit not really suitable, not in a bad way, but it's kind of about love potions and finding yourself a wife. And we're obviously talking about a 5-year-old. And then you get into... Fiona and the Fina stuff, and it's a
that's
little bit
talking,
and it's a little bit spears and blood and warriors and stuff like that as well, so it's kind of hard to find in this book anyway some of the things, but this one is called The Leprechaun. And stop that, please, it's the sleeping time. This one's called The Leprechaun, and I'm not too sure how it goes, because they're mischievous little efforts in the nicest way of saying. And there you go. So we'll see how it goes. And there you are. Right, enough of that. The Leprechaun. The Leprechauns are merry, industrious, tricky little sprites who do all the shoemaker's work and the tailors and the cobblers for the fairy gentry, and are often seen at sunset underneath the hedge singing and stitching. They know all the secrets of hidden treasure, and if they take a fancy to a person, they will guide them to the spot in the fairy rath where the pot of gold lies buried. It is believed that a family now living near Castlereagh came by their riches in a strange way, all through the good offices of a friendly leprechaun. And the legend has been handed down through many generations as an established fact. There was a poor boy once, one of the forefathers.
Put Larry Darwin.
Sorry?
Put Larry Darwin.
You will, yeah.
No, we want him.
Okay.
Okay,
Larry is a hot water bottle, as by the way. He's a sheep, and you put a hot water bottle inside him. So there you go. Where are we going to? Shh, it's bedtime. I'm trying to read the story for everybody. Okay, so there was once a poor boy, one of their forefathers, who used to drive his cart of turf daily back and forward and make what money he could by sale. But he was a strange boy, very silent and moody, and the people said he was a fairy changeling. I have not read this book before, as by the way. For he joined in no sports and scarcely ever spoke to anyone, but spent the nights reading all the old bits of books he picked up in his rambles. The one thing he longed for above all others was to get rich and to be able to give up the old weary turf cart and live in peace and quietness all alone, with nothing but books around him, in a beautiful house and garden all by himself. Now, he had read in the old books how the leprechauns knew all the secret places where gold lay hid, and day by day he watched for a sight of the little cobbler and listened for the click, click of the hammer as he sat underneath the hedge mending the shoes. At last, one evening, just as the sun set, he saw a little fellow under a dock leaf working away. dressed all in green, with a cocked hat on his head. So the boy jumped down from the cart and seized him by the neck. "Now, don't you stir from this," he cried, "till you tell me where to find the hidden gold." "Easy now," said the leprechaun, "don't hurt me, and I will tell you all about it. But mind you, I could hurt you if I chose, for I have the power. But I won't do it, for we are cousins once removed. So as we are near relations, I'll just be good and show you the place of the secret gold that none can have or keep except for those of fairy blood and race. Come along with me, then, to the old fort of Lippinshaw, for there it lies. But make haste, for when the last red glow of sun vanishes, the gold will disappear also, and you will never find it again." "Come off, then," the boy said, and he carried the leprechaun into the turf cart and drove off. And in a second they were at the old fort, and went in through a door made in the stone wall. There's a note at the bottom. It says leprechaun, or Leith, L-E-I-T-H, Brogan, means the artisan of the brogue. I gather brogue being the shoe, which would be shoemaker. It continues. "Now, look round," said the leprechaun, and the boy saw the whole ground covered with gold pieces, and there were vessels of silver lying about in such plenty that all the riches of all the world seemed gathered there. "Now take what you want," said the leprechaun, "but hasten, for if the door shuts, you will never leave this place as long as you live." So the boy gathered up his arms full of gold and silver and flung them into the cart, and was on his way back for more when the door shut with a clap like thunder, and all the place became dark as night, and he saw no more of the leprechaun, and had no time even to thank him. So he thought it best to drive home at once with his treasure, and when he arrived and was all alone by himself, he counted his riches and all the bright yellow gold pieces, enough for a king's ransom. And he was very wise and told no one, but went off the next day to Dublin and put all his treasures into the bank, and found that he was now indeed as rich as a lord. So he ordered a fine horse to be built, to be built with spacious gardens, and he had servants and carriages and books to his heart's content. And he gathered all the wise men round him to give him his learning of a gentleman, and he became a great and powerful man in the country, where his memory is still held in high honour. And his descendants are living to this day rich and prosperous, for their wealth has never decreased, though they have never had given largely to the poor, and are noted above all things for the friendly heart and liberal hand. But leprechauns can be bitterly malicious if they are offended, and one should be very cautious in dealing with them, and to always treat them with great civility, or they will take revenge and never reveal the secret of the hidden gold. One day a young lad was out in the fields at work when he saw a little fellow, not the height of his hand, mending shoes under a dock leaf. And he went over, never taking his eyes off him for fear he would vanish away. And when he got quite close, he made a grab at the creature and lifted him up and put him in his pocket. Then he ran away home as fast as he could. And when he had Leprechaun safe in the house, he tied him by an iron chain to the hob. "Now tell me," he said, "where am I to find a pot of gold? Let me know the place or I will punish you." "I know of no pot of gold," said the leprechaun, "but let me go, that I may finish mending my shoes." Next page. "Then I'll make you tell me," said the lad. And with that, he made down a great fire and put the little fellow on it and scorched him. "Oh, take me off," cried the leprechaun, "and I'll tell you. Just there under the dock leaf where you found me, there is a pot of gold. Go, dig and find." So the lad was delighted and he ran to the door. But it so happened that his mother was just coming in with a pail of fresh milk. And in his haste, he knocked the pail out of her hand and all the milk was spilled over the floor. Then when the mother saw the leprechaun, she grew very angry and beat him. "Go away, you little wretch," she cried. "You have overlooked the milk and brought ill luck." And she kicked him out of the house. But the lad ran off to find the dock leaf, though he came back very sorrowful in the evening, for he had dug and dug nearly down to the middle of the earth, but no pot of gold was to be seen. That same night the husband was coming home from his work, and as he passed the old fort he heard voices and laughter, and one said, "They are looking for a pot of gold." But they little know that a crock of gold is lying down in the bottom of the old quarry, hidden under stones close by the garden wall. But whoever gets it must go of a dark night at 12 o'clock, and beware of bringing his wife with him. So the man hurried home and told his wife that he would go that very night, for it was dark black, and she must stay at home and watch for him, and not stir from the house till he came back. Then he went out into the dark night alone. "Now," thought the wife when he was gone, "if only I could get to the quarry before him, I would have the pot of gold all to myself. Well, if he gets it, I shall have nothing." And with that she went out and ran like the wind. Ernos Naguiha Osqueliga, for those who are listening, and remember their junior cert Irish, until she reached the quarry, and then she began to creep down very, very quietly in the black dark. But a great stone was in her path, and she stumbled over it and fell down till she reached the bottom, and there she lay groaning, for her leg was broken by the fall. Just then her husband came to the edge of the quarry and began to descend, but when he heard the groans he was frightened. "Cross of Christ about us," he exclaimed. "What is that down below? Is it evil or is it good? Oh, come down and help me," cried the woman. "It's your wife is here and my leg is broken, and I'll die if you don't help me." "And is this my pot of gold?" exclaimed the poor man. "Is this my pot of gold? Only my wife with a broken leg lying at the bottom of the quarry." Yeah, it doesn't read right. And he was back at his wits' end to know what to do, for the night was so dark, and he could not see a hand before him. So he roused up a neighbour, and between them they dragged up the poor woman and carried her home and laid her on the bed, half dead from fright. And it was many a day before she was able to get about as usual. Indeed, she limped all her life long, so that people said that the curse of leprechaun was on her. But as to the pot of gold, from that day to this, not one of the family, father or son, or any belonging to them, ever set eyes on it. However, the little leprechaun still sits under the dock leaf of the hedge and laughs at them as he mends the shoes with his little hammer, tick-tack, tick-tack. But they are afraid to touch it, for now they know he can take his revenge. There you go. Dangerous little feathers, them leprechauns. Right, that's it. Call us off. Good night.